This is a Sound Rebel podcast.
To work with us on your podcast, go to soundrebel.co.uk. Over the Influence is no longer just a podcast. Our online community is buzzing with people like you.
Hi, my name's Helen, and I stopped drinking alcohol almost exactly 7 years ago. When I stopped drinking, I really felt a lot of benefits. My health was better, my finances were better, my attention was better, and I really felt like I started to kind of grow up as a person. At times, it was still difficult. At times, even now, I feel like sometimes it's hard to explain to people why I don't drink. And sometimes still, I feel like I'm a bit alone on this journey. But a couple of years ago, I found Over the Influence, and that really changed things a lot for me. And I just felt like I wasn't alone in this journey anymore. It's just so nice to have this massive connection with all these like-minded people. Come along to Over the Influence and be part of an amazing community.
You've heard the podcast. Now join the conversation. Go to overtheinfluence.co.uk.
Welcome to Over the Influence. It is wonderful to have you listening. If you are joining us for the first time, here is a brief reintroduction as to who we are. You wouldn't think I broadcast for a living, but what happens is I spend every single day broadcasting to literally tens of people, including my mum, and I talk and talk and talk, and then I come home and I podcast and I Zoom, and actually when it gets to past 8 o'clock, my mouth stops working, literally stops working. Not great for a podcast host. I've already digressed. Back to the matter in hand. My name is Sharon Hartley. You can call me Shaz or call me Shazza. I am the co-host of this amazing alcohol-free podcast. It is one of the best things that I do in the world. It is freaking wonderful. I happen to be now, I can say this, 3 years alcohol-free. Lol.
Amazing. Still,
it is. It's just, it's ridic. It's ridiculous, but it is utterly wonderful. And if it wasn't 3 years alcohol-free, I wouldn't be doing this podcast now with these amazing people that I just love. It's just the best thing ever. I don't do this on my own. I've got my glamorous co-host, Freddie, who is in the future. Yes, you. You looking quite fresh-faced today, Freddie, if you don't mind me saying.
Thank you. Someone said to me the other day, someone called me 28 years old.
Oh, were they drunk?
I think they were. Like, I think they wanted something from me. And yeah, 28? I won't tell you what they wanted because that's a whole different story.
Did you give it them?
But anyway, I took the compliment, basically, because when you get to my age, because when I'm almost 40, scarily enough now, and but I am also almost 1,000 days alcohol free.
Amazing.
And none of this would be happening if I was still on that sofa, beer in one hand, pizza in the other, angry at the world and saying, why didn't things go the way I wanted them to? And that's when I stopped drinking alcohol. I sorted my life out slightly, not totally, because I am all sorts of messed up still. But we all laugh about that now. And I'm so happy to be here now on Over the Influence, changing the world on the world's number one alcohol-free podcast. And I am so, so excited about our guest today. I know, I've got that feeling. I woke up quite recently and I just knew it was going to be a fabulous show.
It will be a fabulous show because it was you, Freddie, that put us in touch with our guest who you'll be hearing from. We will get to the guest in a moment when we've all finished waffling on. So there's myself. I didn't say anything about me. Do you need to know? I'm 47, married, 3 kids. I think that's enough. From Lancashire in England. Obviously, we've got the very glamorous Freddie in New Zealand. And we've got, well, he's just looking good with his... Got a bit of a bouffant tonight. His hair's looking fine. He's glowing. He's still got that post-Mallorca tan. Still in his budgie smugglers. It is our professional and very alcohol-free producer, Background Ben. Morning, love.
Hello.
Evening, love.
Hello. Sorry, I wasn't not listening then. I was just trying to do some maths because you're 3 years alcohol-free. Fantastic. Yeah. It sounds great.
Thank
Freddie's
you.
Freddie's 1,000 days alcohol-free. That sounds Boom. So good. I am today 14 months alcohol-free.
Whoa!
Okay, I'm happy with it. But 14, it's not that glamorous. It's not like 3 years or 1,000 days. It's not, yeah, 14 months. It's not. So I've been doing some maths, and that's roughly 420 days. But if you times that by 24 hours...
Oh, my God, here we go.
I am 10,080 hours alcohol-free.
Hey! Yes. 10,000 hours, brilliant. Yeah, I like that.
10,080.
Yeah, 10,080, roughly. But no, I didn't intend to give up alcohol. I was inspired by Freddie and Shaz to have a break. I said it was going to be 3 months. 3 months turned into six. Six turned into 12. And 12 has turned into 14 months alcohol-free. There we go.
It's made you really strange. I shared a meme on Instagram about you the other day, Ben. And if you're in the sober community on Instagram, there's this brilliant photo of this really strange fella, like, clutching a crystal with really bad hair from the 70s. And it says something like, oh, yeah, you know, you'll be fine in sobriety. You won't be any more weird. And then here we are with Ben counting his hours and...
Clutching his crystals.
We'll have different passions. Shaz. It's all right. Brilliant. Everyone can like what they like. I like a bit of maths every now and then. Anyway, we got a guest.
You kill me. Brilliant. Should we meet our guest? Should we stop doing the maths and meet our guest? This podcast is all about you. It's all about your stories. It's all about the overshares. We absolutely love it. And it is about our inspirational guests. I was really chuffed when Freddie put me in touch with Chloe, because anybody Freddie brings our way, they're gold. They're just wonderful. And I'm really excited. Our guest today is Chloe Frierson. And Chloe, we've obviously connected through Over the Influence, and Freddie has introduced us to one another. I feel like I know you really well already through our messages on social media, through your comments on our posts. It's like, yes, sober sister, welcome to Over the Influence. Big up yourself, Chloe. How are you?
I'm very good, thank you. How are you?
Really well.
I am a hype girl. I love it. I'm like, yes, let's do it.
Brilliant. Absolutely amazing. I love the fact that, yes, we love a hype girl on this pod.
Yeah.
And so much to ask you, so much to chat about. I think we will start, if you don't mind, by just saying, you know, how long have you been doing this alcohol-free life? How's it going for you?
Alcohol-free life. So it started in like 2016. Like Freddie always says, he had so many failed attempts, I was the same, 4 years, fail. But not really fail, is it? You always learn. And then my last drink was Christmas Day last year. I'm almost at the 9 month part, mark. Yeah, but it's took me a long time to get here. You always think it's gonna be easy, don't you? But it's not at the start.
No, absolutely not. None of it is easy. So no. Before we talk a little bit more about your journey, we use the J word a lot on this podcast, and talk about your previous drinking days and what's got you to this point. Just tell us a bit about you, what you get up to, whereabouts do you live?
It's a weird one. This year's been a weird one for me. Freddie, you know all about this year. So I'm Chloe, 31 years old. I'm originally from the UK. I moved to Australia in 2014, planned to stay. I've been living there for the last 7 years, and then had some issues with immigration and went to tribunal for my visa in March, and the next day they rejected the visa and then banned me from applying for more while I was still in the country. So I literally had 10 days to say goodbye to this life that I'd built, this person I became, the beach, the sunrises, and so I went home for a little bit to Derbyshire where my parents are, and then I moved to London in July. So I'm slowly trying to adjust and mend my broken heart and just get on with it. But yeah, it's been a bit of a weird year. So yeah, I'm now UK again. I'm on this side of the pond.
I think we must have almost passed each other on the planes, Chloe, when I was going down to this part of the world, and you were going back to the UK. But I think it just goes to show, doesn't it, how we never know what's around the corner. And like you say, it's been such a crazy 12, 18 months for everyone. Then when you have these things that you talked about on top of it as well, it can be a struggle and it can be difficult. And trying to get my maths right in my head, and I'm not Ben, so math isn't my strong point.
I've already done it, Freddie.
How? Oh, brilliant.
Are you about to say, is it 2.5 months into your sobriety that this happened? 2.5, 3 months? Or have I just
Ben,
jumped
it's,
in?
It's like you're literally inside me. And well, that's a fun image. But yes, that's where I was getting to. How did you find it, Chloe, with all of this extra turmoil on top of the whole like pandemic thing? And making that decision to drink differently and go alcohol free, how did you do it?
I don't even know. I swear. It had been like an ongoing process. Because it started in 2016, and that was purely from the job that I had in Australia. And that was a really random job that came to me, and it was all motivational speakers with like Tony Robbins and Richard Branson. And I was sort of introduced to this world that I didn't even know about. I literally, wow. In my interview, they said, do you know who Tony Robbins is? And I was like, no. And they were like, do you know what personal development is? I was like, no. I was the classic binge drinking on the weekend, drink to blackout, depressed all week. Like, that was just the cycle I was in. And that's how I thought it was, just, that's just how I thought I was. So then I got this job. So I don't want to say luck, but I do feel like it was lucky. Like, it came to me when I really needed it. And I'll never forget, I went to the first Tony Robbins event and I hated it because it made me so uncomfortable, because it was talking to my soul. It was telling me all the things that I hated about myself, but I didn't want to believe it. And then, I don't know, just it was just little seeds were being planted at the time, and I started becoming aware of my behaviour. And I started, Tony just said something so simple one time, that you're in control of your life, just something like that. And you know, you think, yeah, I am. What? Why has no one told me this? What? I just accepted that this is who I was and this is how I was always going to be. And then, yeah, the seeds were planted. And then I will never forget, you know, people always say about like rock bottoms. I had so many rock bottoms when I look back, but I didn't know there were rock bottoms. Again, I just thought that's just how I was going to be, and that was how it was always going to be. And I started assessing my drinking, and I thought, you know what, I'm not really happy doing this. So I said to my friend on a Friday morning at work, Simon Hodge, if you're listening, he changed it. He helped me a lot with this. I said, I'm not going to drink this whole weekend. And he said, I bet you $100 you won't last until Sunday. No way. And I was like, bet you. And I went home that night. Not one of my flatmates was in. And so there was no encouragement, there was no peer pressure. And I started watching a movie, and next thing I'm texting my friends, I'm going out and I'm getting drunk. And it just turned into this weekend of just full, all rock bottoms, basically. Like, it was so, like, even on the first night, because there was none of my housemates were in, I had no alcohol in the house, and I was going to meet friends sober. That, I felt sick walking through Sydney City sober. Like, I was having a panic attack, and I was like, oh my God, I can't do this. I need a drink. So I went to a bottle shop, just bought the cheapest bottle of wine that tasted like cat wee. And I went into train station toilets, sat in a minging, like really a rough train station toilets, sat in a cubicle, and I didn't leave until I necked the bottle of wine just on my own, just in a train station toilet. Went out with my friends, went in, got in a blackout, woke up in bed with a stranger. I had no idea who this person was. And I just went into this vicious cycle of, what are you even doing? But then it carried on for the next 3 days. I did the exact same thing. I lost my keys, I lost my phone, my bank card, like all the bad things that happened in one weekend. And I was like, I was supposed to do 3 days sober, and this, I've had 4 days of just, you know, torturing myself, basically. I went to work on the Monday late because I drank on the Sunday, so I went in at like 1 o'clock, and then I just cried because I was like, what am I even doing here? Like, what is the point? I was so depressed. I had zero, like, love and respect for myself because of the things that I kept doing on nights out. And that's when I was like, I'm just going to Google, see if there's anyone else like me going through this. So I think I just Googled, like, I don't even know what I Googled, something about not drinking. For me, it was just the binge drinking. I'd always drink to blackout. Every single night I would have to push it and blackout and do stupid things and never wake up in my own bed, you know, just do some stuff that sober you would never do. And then you're in that turmoil all week. And this went on for the 4 years, pretty much. I'd do 3 months sober, then I'd drink again and blackout and do stupid stuff. Then I'd do 4 months sober, and it just went on. And over time, the blackouts and stuff started to stop, but the depression, the anxiety, the self-worth that I had for myself in the week, just, it was just awful. And I started to realise alcohol just isn't good for me. Even when I went out and managed to somehow moderate on some nights, I'd still have savage anxiety the next day, and like panic attacks in the morning. And then I went on holiday last year in Australia with friends, had a couple of drinks every night, went to bed early, and I was like, I don't even need it. I'm gonna do it. And I said, that's it, Christmas Day, my last drink, and I'm going to do the year. And it's just been unreal. Like, I can't believe I've finally done it. And then with everything that happened this year, with having to come back home and come to London, where it's very much a party place, which I really forgot that this is life. Because in Australia, I built a foundation in a tribe of people where they were personal development people. We'd all wake up at 4 a.m. on a Saturday to go running, and we'd all watch sunrises. And my friends that did drink supported me not drinking. And I just had this really amazing group of people around me. And then to come back to London, where it's just not really like that, it's been a bit tough. It's been a little bit of a struggle, definitely.
Chloe, earlier on you said that you got this job, you didn't know what personal development was. Hmm. I have had jobs where I've had no idea what I was doing, or what the subject area was, but what I was supposed to be doing. But I didn't meet some of the world's most inspirational people, like Richard Branson and Tony Robbins. What was this job, and how did you stumble into something like that?
It was insane. I just, based on my second year in Australia, I was like, I need to stay in this country. In my head, I just needed a job that would sponsor me. I stupidly was in Port Douglas drinking every single day before this. So I had no time left on my second year visa to get a decent job that would like give me the 3 month probation and all of this. So I was panicking. Every interview I went to, they were like, you need 3 months on your visa. But I had like 6 weeks left, and I was like, no. Oh, and I was like, why did I stay in Port Douglas? And then I just messaged one of my friends, my friend Kayla, and I said, I knew she was sponsored, and I was like, do you have any jobs there? I needed to get sponsored. She was like, oh my God, you'd love it here. So she got me the interviews, went for the 2 interviews, had no idea what I was signing up for. And they just said, you know, we're doing one of the events in 2 weeks, so we'll give you the job, come to the event, see what you think. So I had the job. I still had no idea. And I put it on my Facebook, I think, like, oh, I'm starting work for Tony Robbins. Does anyone know this guy? So many people were like, oh my God, Tony. And I was like, what the hell is this? I've never heard of this man. And I was like, he's one. I started like YouTubing him. And I was like, all right then. And then, somehow got the job and went to this first event. And it was just insane. And honestly, I thank my life, like, genuinely to that company. It was a company called Success Resources. They were like a global company. They do huge, huge events with big speakers. And it changed me as a person. The person I was when I started and the person I was when I left could not be any different. Like, even when I left, my manager gave a little speech and he was like, I've never seen a transformation like this. Like, never. You're not the same person. I was just, you know, I was purely there for the sponsorship. I just wanted to get drunk. I'd go in late every day. I'd go home, watch Netflix, eat shit, I wouldn't go to the gym. I wouldn't do anything. And it just, from the events and from picking up little bits from speakers. And then I didn't really get into it for probably a year because it was so uncomfortable for me that every conversation I was having with clients on the phone, they were talking about real stuff, like, you know, big challenges in their life. And I'm like, I've never had conversations like this ever. Like, and they're sharing this with me. So then some of their conversations would also trigger things inside of me. And I was like, ooh, this is something I need to address. That means something. And yeah, and then after a year, I was like, I'm in. This is it. This is where I need to be. And oh, it was crazy. It was crazy. But what I've learned from that job, from all the events, the people I met, the friends I made, the clients who became friends, it's just stuck with me now, to the point where when my visa got rejected and all that big shift sort of happened that was out of my control, I know I handled it so well due to everything I'd learned. It was purely just from education. If that would have happened a few years ago, I would have been very worried, like, for my mental health. And my mental health did go at times. It did. I got really down when I came home. But I kept reminding myself of the things that I'd sort of learned. And, yeah, it was genuinely the opportunity of a lifetime. I think I was the luckiest girl in the world to get a job like that. T-Dog, I love you.
Well, if you get
is that what it's called in the office, T-Dog?
Yeah,
T-Dog.
I always call him T-Dog. I'm like, T-Dog.
They call me F-Dog in F-Dog.
It means something quite different.
Or F-word, one of the two things. Anyway, I was going to ask you, Chloe, and you mentioned just now about it, almost like the tactics that you used when, you know, when you became alcohol-free and you went through this transformation, and then when all the stuff started happening about the visa, how do you cope with it? What resources and tactics do you rely on to get through what must be such a challenging time?
It was a very strange one, because this is like another personal thing I was going through. But basically, in the last 12 months, I've been eating disorder free as well. Amazing. In lockdown last year. Thank you. In lockdown last year, it was the darkest time of my life, purely because of the eating disorder. It being in lockdown, not being able to go to gym and everything. And I'm a very extroverted person, and being on my own, my housemate, she was there sometimes. Sometimes she'd be at a boyfriend's house. When she weren't there, I'd lose my marbles. And she'd come home and she'd look at me. I wouldn't be able to make eye contact with her because I hadn't told anyone this huge secret I'd had for 19 years. And this thing that I thought this was going to kill me. So I had to go into eating disorder recovery. I started last September. So I've been the whole year free now, which is amazing.
Wow. But
that was even a process. I was going through all of this process. Then I started the alcohol-free stuff. And then the tribunal came. And then the stress levels of trying to handle all this stuff that I've got triggers left, right and centre coming from me, from food, alcohol, everything. Then the tribunal. And it's like this thing that you want so bad. I'd never wanted anything more in my life than to get the visa to stay in Australia, and I really believed in my soul I was going to get it. We'd been fighting for it for 4 years. It'd been such a process, and we were all like, this has been so time consuming, a lot of money's gone into it, energy, it's surely going to happen. And because my mindset believed it was going to happen so much, I sort of wasn't getting to me at that point. Then the tribunal came and it was an absolute shit show. Like, it was the worst 3 hours. The guy was really, really awful. I cried as soon as it ended. And my boss looked at me. He had tears in his eyes because he's been doing it for 4 years. And he was like, I think it's going to get rejected. And then the next day rejected it. So that's when it all started everything just started hitting me. I was going to the beach in the morning, watching the sunrise, and crying on the beach for 2 hours. Because I was like, I've got to now grieve for this life that I've spent so long building. And I think it meant more because in Australia and with that job, that's where everything changed for me. So to leave that version of me in this place where it all changed was like the hardest thing in the world to do. And for me, I said to myself, because obviously there was a lot of leaving parties coming up when I was leaving, and you know, some friends were like, come on, it's a leaving party, surely you're going to drink. And I was like, I know now more than ever, I cannot. I absolutely know if I drink now, the way my mind is with the sadness that I'm feeling for everything that's happening, it would just be, it won't end well. I know if I wake that monster, it's going bad. So I just had to remind myself, now more than ever, this is when you keep doing what you've been doing. You keep the routine, you keep the discipline, and just stay on track. And to think if what I could have done or would have done if I would have started drinking again and gone down that rabbit hole with the mental health, it scares me. It really does. So yeah, it was just purely discipline. It was.
That's the test, though, isn't it? That's the test. When you're alcohol-free, and every credit as well, because obviously you've been through the eating disorder, 1 year free from that as well. So your strength of character is evident. Those times when you're not drinking, when somebody sent to test you, like, what was it now? Two years ago, we lost a family business, so I'd been about 1 year, just over 1 year alcohol-free, and it was an absolute shit show. And some people said to me, I couldn't have got through that without drinking. And you think to these situations that are sent to test, I can't imagine having drunk through something like that. Oof. I don't know what state I would have been in.
Yeah.
And that's the real test, isn't it, Chloe, when you go, you know what, no, this is hard, but it's going to be so much harder. Adding booze, it's like pouring petrol on a fire, isn't it?
Yeah.
And you must, my God, do you look back and recognize Chloe that joined that team with Tony Robbins dealt with this shit storm? I mean,
oh God, if this would have happened 4 years ago, even I would have only been in Australia for 3 years at that time. But that drinking girl, she would have come home and just gone straight back out with her old friends, probably started taking drugs, drinking. I would have just gone back into the old ways immediately. I think I really believe I would have. So I'm like, thank you, universe or whoever, for letting me stay for that amount of time to learn what I needed to learn so that I've got the tools to sort of get on with the next chapter in the best way possible. But yeah, no, old Chloe would not have. I'm like, oh, she would not have coped with this. No way.
I'm not going to go on a rant, but...
Go on. He says this a lot, Chloe.
It's crazy, isn't it? Like when our friends, and this is more of like a weird statement than a question, but I'd love your opinion on it, Chloe. It's weird, isn't it? When our friends are around us, our friends in inverted commas, and really shitty things happen to us sometimes. And we talk about this a lot on the podcast, and it's almost dispelling that myth. If you stop drinking, life's going to be perfect. And obviously life is a lot better, but stuff that we can't control will still happen to us. And when those bad times come, that our friends all rally around us and say, what you need is a drink, when some of them might know we've been struggling. Some of them might know we're trying to do an alcohol-free thing. Some of them might just kind of have our best interests at heart and say, you know, pour some poison down your throat, that'll make you feel better. But it's crazy that so many people's natural reaction is get drunk, have a drink. And I mean, I don't mean that on reflection of our friends. I know, you know, people that do have my best interests at heart. And you know, I had a situation the other day where some things went wrong, but that's my life, let's face it. And you know, someone that I didn't know very well say, oh yeah, I bet you've earned a whiskey tonight, haven't you? Yeah. And you're kind of like, but how's that going to make it better? And I think it's something that society has done as a whole, that yeah, it's around something's gone wrong in your life, have a drink. And I mean, do you find that, Chloe, or did you find that more in Australia or in the UK, that people's natural reaction is just pour a drink down yourself, that'll make it all okay?
It is one of them, isn't it? In Australia, when I first went over there, you know, you're backpacking, you're having so much fun those first 2 years, and it's just, you just drink, drink, drink. It's just so normal, and it's sunny every day, so you feel like you want to drink more. And when I started shaking that identity off, I lost all my friends. And I had probably 2 years of pure loneliness because I didn't know this new version of me. So I didn't know to get up early and go join a run club. Like, I didn't even know that was a lifestyle that I was going to find. But I knew I didn't want to have this party lifestyle. So I lost all these friends. I had people, I even had one time I was going out to a birthday party, and I text her and I said, I'm doing I think it was like a 30-day thing. Then I said, I'm doing no alcohol for 30 days. She was a Geordie girl, big party girl. I said, I'm going to come, but I'm just letting you know, I'm not drinking, I'm not going to stay. So I went late. I had a full panic attack before I left because it was my first proper night out sober. And I think the first one you do is going to be shit. There's no two ways. You are going to feel sick. You hate it. Oh, it's just awful. And I had a full panic attack. I was in a taxi on the way, panic attack. And it was one of the busiest streets in Sydney. And when I got there, it was a massive queue. And it was known for, like, you know, drugs and all the crazy stuff. And I'll never forget, I felt so small. I felt so small and vulnerable because everyone was loud and, you know, colourful. It felt crazy and people were bashing into me and I couldn't go in. I thought I was going to be sick. So I saw a taxi. I was like, I've got to go home. Got in a taxi, text her, and I just told her exactly what had happened. And I said, let me take you out for a birthday breakfast tomorrow to make up for it. And she never responded to me and just unfriended me on everything.
Oh, God.
And I was like, wow. I've just told you, like, and I was a bit like,
Chloe.
Yeah, it was bad. She never spoke to me again. I've never bothered to reach out to her again. Well, then, I'm like, I don't want you in my life.
You don't need a friend like that in your life.
Yeah, yeah. But then from all this, I then started waking up early, watching sunrises, joining a running club. So I found my tribe of people, and then it's gone backwards now because I've come to London and I basically went, because I didn't have a job and I was like, I don't even know what to do. So I went into recruitment, and the company, amazing. I can't fault the company at all, but it was a company where 23-year-old me would have absolutely loved it. Partying, drink, drink, drink. And it was a big thing. Like, you go out with your clients, you take them for a drink, you've got a drink here. All Thursday, let's all go for a drink. And I don't want to sit in a pub. Like, even sober, I'd genuinely rather go to the gym, have an early night, get up early. I don't want to just sit there in a pub. I really don't. And there was one night, you know, you want to make friends with your new colleagues. So went after work on a Thursday, had them orange juice, and it became a big thing. All these new people, and they went on the, you know, not the attack, but there was a lot of peer pressure, like, come on, Chloe, come on. Because I didn't know this night out was going to happen. It was very unexpected. I didn't have, like, my story ready. You know, like, your comebacks, your excuse. Like, I always like to prepare before. What am I going to say? What's my excuse going to be? I didn't have it. So I was getting in a web of lies, and oh, God, it was just a bit of a nightmare. And they're all like, come on, just have one. Like, if you weren't going to drink, what would you drink? And I'm like, I'm not telling you because you're going to get it. And it just became this big thing. After that night, I experienced some people in the team who just took a disliking to me completely, to shut me down because I wouldn't drink. And then one guy, I was talking about going to the gym, and then he was like, oh, people who go to the gym are wankers. And I was like, I've just told you I'm going to the, like, why are you doing this? And they just treated me a bit different. And it, I just thought, I can't be here. I can't be in this environment. No one talked about anything other than, you know, this small, you know, small talky Love Island, nothing, like no substance, and there's nothing wrong with that. I watch Love Island, but do you know what I mean? It was all drinking.
I'll say, one of the best programmes on television.
I do love it. But it was like every weekend, drunk. I'd go on the, we're on a work night party and someone's crying, someone's really drunk, someone's the, and you're like, oh my God, I can't even, I just can't be here. I can't. So it was weird to feel like I'd gone so far back. When in Australia, when I left, I didn't feel any, there was no peer pressure. Everyone knew I didn't drink. I had so many sober friends. Everyone was, or a fitness friend. And then it was a big wake up call coming back and realizing there's still so much work to do, like with the world and how we look at people who drink and who don't drink. And I just got treated like an alien. And I was like, but no one asked me. No one said, why are you not drinking? And I think, for me, I always say to my friends, I'm like, just be curious. If people are giving up meat, don't go on the attack. Ask them why. If they're giving up smoking, ask them why. If they're giving up drinking, ask them. And they'll give a reason that will make you understand. Oh, actually, yeah, fair play. You're doing it to feel good. Do you know what I mean? It's, people can be so quick to jump on something because it's going against things that they do.
Yeah.
And it's, and I'm not saying there's anything wrong
people
with that.
That called you a dick for going to the gym or whatever,
yeah,
and you know, mocked you for not drinking, that isn't about you.
No.
Because they'll be looking at you thinking, yeah, I wouldn't mind a bit of that. You know, I'm quite liking what she... They'd never, I didn't mean it in that way. A bit of that came out completely wrong. I meant your lifestyle choices. I've spent too much time in Freddie's company, Chloe. This happens.
Whoa.
I agree.
I am I'm a clean living, clean minded gentleman, I'll have you know, Shaz. And my mind wasn't even going in that direction.
I didn't mean it like I wouldn't mind a piece of that. Your lifestyle, a lot of people look on at people that have had the balls to say, you know what, I'm doing it differently. I'm not drinking. And I know so many people want to do that, but choose not to, or can't, or won't. You know, I think most people actually can. Anybody can give it a shot. So it's a reflection on them. But it is, Jesus, it's at every bloody turn, Chloe, when you are that one person in a group of drinkers. It's so hard. And I still feel it 3 years down the line. And that's why we do what we do. And that's why we've got Freddie leading the way with the sober rebellion and the sober revolution, because we're making sobriety cool. It's the cool kids. The fact I've used the word cool and kids in one sentence means I'm not very cool at all. You know what I'm trying to say?
Right on, sister. I was going to say, I can't remember what I was going to say now.
Bring it back, Freddie.
Okay, bloody hell, if I'm the one bringing it back, we're in all sorts of trouble.
Right, Piccolia.
What help? I mean, I've been in that situation as well, like, you know, in literally in London. And just the same as you, Chloe, I'd get myself into all sorts of trouble, literally HR nightmares. And then I'd be saying, right, I need to sort my life out. I'm going to stop drinking. And then a few weeks or a month would go by, and then I'd be back in there again and again. It'd be that whole cycle. And I definitely felt that it was damaging my career to not drink, because people would either be like gym wanker or lemonade dick or clean living tosser, or it's like a family Christmas around my house, really. That's what my mum says to me. Again, another story. And it's getting abuse for trying to change. And I was thinking, hang on, this isn't right. I'm trying to do something good here. I'm trying to change my life for the better. And I'm just getting grief for it.
Yeah.
And here's what flipped it for me. I don't know if you sort of felt the same. And I had this thing when I tried to stop drinking, and when I finally managed to make it work after, I said, 1,000 failed attempts. And it's almost casting your mind into the future. And maybe your mate Tony's talked about this. Who knows? But I think it's...
T-Dog.
T-Dog.
T-Dog, get it right.
And he, the people that he talked about in that job and everything, I can almost see their future. I like see their life. And you know it's going to be the same old banter, in inverted commas, the same old Thursday nights, the same old hangovers on Friday, the same bars with the same people for the next 5 years, the next 10 years, and I'll probably get a few more promotions and they'll get a nicer car on the driveway, but that will be their life. And I think we can tell ourselves a different story. We can rechart the course of our lives and we can take things in a different direction. And I think that's, but I don't think, I know that's what you've done, Chloe. I think it's so bloody wonderful and brave that you've done that. And it's a difficult thing. And we all say that when we started drinking, we all did it to be a bit rebellious. But now, not drinking is the rebellious thing. And I was coming to a question, believe it or not, because I was a bit ranty again. What would you say to someone that came to you and they were like, look, I've heard you on the podcast. I really, your story really resonates. I want to change, but I keep on failing. What would you say to them?
Oh God, that's a good question. What, so like, they've already tried to be sober?
Yeah, I think someone, because we get a lot of people either messaging the podcast, say, look, I've tried it, I've done a couple of weeks, I've done a month, and then I fall off the wagon again. And any tips you'd give to them?
All I would say is just keep going. And because I think people can so easily keep themselves when they drink again. And I've said this, I've got a friend who's in this like situation now. And I said, the fact that you're here and you're trying speaks volumes. Like, you're trying to change. Like, you do it for a bit and then you drink again, but you're still here and you're still trying. You're not just accepting that that's just the way you are. And I'm like, you're going to fail. And I say this to all my friends. I've said, if you ever do it, you will drink. You'll give up and you will drink. You will fail. But it's not about how many times you fail. It's about how many times you say, no, you know what? Let's give it another go. Let's just give it another go. So I just say, just keep going. Because now, where I'm at right now, I've never been this content and confident with the decision that I've made to go sober. Before, I wasn't confident with it. It was not a confidence thing at all. It was always, I would always think back, oh, if I just drank now, my anxiety would go, I'd feel confident, I can make conversation in a bar, I can do these things. But now I'm like, I don't even need it. And that's purely just been from practicing, keep doing it, keep doing it, keep doing it, keep trying, fail it. Every time you fail, you're reminded as to how much you don't want to do that anyway. Do you know what I mean? So it's sort of, it is a positive in a way, because you'll be sober for 3 months, love it, you drink again, you're like, that was absolutely horrific, I felt awful for 3 days, right, let's do another 3 months and add on and add on. So yeah, it purely just be, just keep going. It's not going to happen overnight, never. You can try and give up anything, it's not just going to happen the first time. Keep working.
No, I totally agree. I think you made a great point about going in there and trying it. And again, I've been there as well. Like, it's so easy if you fall off the wagon to hide away and to say, I'm not going to tell anyone, and you feel guilty about it. There's nothing to feel guilty about. Just own it and just say, you know what, I didn't even fail. I tried something, didn't quite work out, so I'm going to try it a different way and I'll learn more next time. And you're absolutely right. It's just about going again and going again. And as I always say, you've only got to get it right once, and then you win. Then your life changes.
Hi, we're Sound Rebel and we produce this podcast.
We make loads of podcasts and we want to make yours. Email hello@soundrebel.co.uk to find out more.
You forgot the bit about the first free episode.
Oh, and tell us you heard this ad and we'll produce your first episode for free.
Great. Email hello@soundrebel.co.uk now and we'll get back to you as soon as we can.
Right, back to the episode.
Chloe, as someone who's been back in the UK now for, what, about 6 months?
Yes, I think so.
Do you say you've been for 4 years in Australia?
7 years.
7 years, sorry.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to slag us off here, but...
but?
early you said that you were kind of judged quite harshly by people here in the UK, questioned a lot about your decision, but it wasn't the same in Australia. Is that because you were there for 7 years, so you'd found your group of people, like-minded people, those are the people you hung out with? Is that why you had a different experience with them? Or have we got a problem in Britain? Are we less accepting than the Aussies are? Are we behind Australia in terms of this kind of alcohol-free movement?
It's a weird one. In Australia, there's a lot of like sober raves now, and there's a lot of sober nights out you can go to. He's becoming like a big thing, like the sober conscious nights out, and personal development is so, so big over there. But also I think because the weather's so nice, it's more active, so people are there. It's people look so good, they're working out all the time, they're on the beach, they've got no tops on, and so for them to maintain that image, they can't have that crazy party lifestyle. Australians love to drink, they absolutely love to drink, but I just feel here it just feels harder, and I don't know if it's just the weather. Do you know what I mean? You know, in winter it's like you go to the pub because it's cold and dark outside, so you're not going to be outside, but in Australia you've got that weather the whole year round. Saying that, I met like a great bunch of people last week, and they it was like a big running thing. We did run then yoga, and they brought like alcohol-free beer along. Those people, I told them, I was like, oh, I'm on 9 months sober now. They were, every single one of them, the most supportive person ever. So I feel like they're here and it's gonna get there. I do feel like we're slightly behind, but I feel like it is gonna get there eventually. But yeah, it just felt easier in Australia. But then again, it might just be because over time I created that tribe that I wasn't really around the drink as much anyway, because in my job they all knew me. We weren't known as a party company at all, so I was never had that peer pressure in work. I have my friends, the fitness, so it might just be that I've not had that time here yet to discover the tribe. But I don't know, just the experience I had in the company I've just left, with the judgment, the peer pressure, and the sort of alienation that I had after it, just made me a bit oof. I can't imagine having that in Australia, really.
I think you've got a really interesting perspective, because obviously you were a kid, don't mean to be rude, but you were young when you left the UK for Australia. Yeah. And you said yourself that you are a completely different person in just a few years. So coming back into the country as a new person, it must just be bonkers. In fact, we've got a question about kind of moving back from Delmi. Chloe, what's the best thing that's happened to you since you arrived back in the UK, and what are you most looking forward to now?
Ooh, God, that's a very good question. Excuse my shriek then.
Ooh. I do it all the time.
I think the best thing is definitely spending quality time with my family. I only saw my family like twice in the whole 7 years, and then with COVID you don't know when you're going to see them, and I went home and spent some beautiful months with my mum and dad, and we just bonded. They were helping me through my grief, and we were close anyway, so that was so special for me. They're moving house soon as well, and we said goodbye to the house today, and I was like, I'm so grateful I had this time, like the last few months in that house together. So they're moving away, which is nice. And then so yes, my family, meeting my niece and spending time with my nephew has been amazing. This might sound a little bit weird, for me the best thing couldn't, apart from the family and you know all that stuff, but seeing how different I am now, actually massively putting it all into practice and seeing I am a completely different person. I haven't just gone back into the old routine. I haven't just gone back into drinking and hanging around with the people who weren't good for me before, and actually seeing that person, she's fully evolved. So I think that for me, it's been such a confidence boost. Also, I would say, because I moved to London, I'm still going out and I'm still doing things, and I've actually realised how confident I am now sober, which I wasn't before. I couldn't have gone on dates sober, I couldn't have done anything sober, because I would feel so sick with anxiety. And now when I go out, I go out with my friends, I'll chat to someone, and they're like, how many drinks have you had? And I'm like, nothing. And they're like, oh God, I thought you were pissed. And I'm like, this is me, normal.
Just nuts, mate. Just nuts.
This is me. Just a bit mad.
it's the classic thing, isn't it, of, you know, when somebody goes away, you hope, it's a terrible phrase, but you hope to find yourself, don't you? You go to a different country to find yourself. Would you be here if you'd never gone to Australia? Because it sounds like it was that job. It wasn't necessarily the country, but it was it that job?
It was
specifically
the job. Yeah. If I hadn't have gone to that job, I don't believe I would have ever found this personal development thing that people talk, like, it was just the people I was hanging around with, you know, it wasn't a thing, never. And yeah, no, I'd be down a bad, really bad path. I wasn't an alcoholic before. I definitely had a problem with alcohol, but I believe that if I'd have kept going, it just would have gone that way. Like, I have 100% certainty on that. So Yeah, the job. Because when I first got to Australia, I was disgusted with how fit everyone was. I was like, oh, everyone's so active. So that's how much I was really like, oh, this isn't for me. What is this about? And then over time, I started to become that person again through the job. So yeah, definitely.
I was just the same as you, Chloe. I went out to Australia when I must have been 18 or 19. And like, yeah, I was doing the walk of shame many a morning with all like the 5 a.m. runners going and doing the beach workouts and everything else. And I was just kind of there, just looking like a whole mess, really. Yeah. But it just goes to show that any of us can change.
Yeah, it is. I joined a running club in Sydney called the 440. So you'd get there at like 4:40 in the morning, start running at 5. It was amazing. And my first ever, well, there was like 200 people. And my first ever one, I started running up the hill and these two drunk girls came out of the ocean and they were shouting and heckling and I was dying of laughter and I was like, that would have been me. Like, I would have been that person. And I was like, and now I'm one of the runners. I was like, yes, that's a good turnaround.
So, Chloe, some of our members are watching the podcast recording, which is brilliant, and they're saying very lovely things. So, thank you, community members.
Guys.
Question, Chloe, have you thought about mentoring or buddying other young women on their journey? You should. And I love this because you are young and inspiring and fabulous, and like your best mate's Big D, Big T, Big T Dog. It's the T and the dog and the D.
I've been mates with the Big D before. Oh, geez. That's another story.
Ben, Eddie,
and here is best selling author and motivation speaker, Donny Robbins. Welcome to the stage, Donny. Thanks for coming.
Oh my god.
It's the dog. It was the T dog.
That is unreal.
Help me.
Yeah. Sorry, Shaz. Me. What were you saying?
God. Oh, that's brilliant, Shaz. I'm going to call him Big D next time.
Hey, listen, there's always an invite here. There's always an invite here for Big D dog on this podcast. Let me
there's no Big D's around here, usually, that's for sure.
Right. What were you saying, Shaz?
I was saying that Chloe is young and fabulous and inspiring.
Yes,
and
yes, her, got that.
One of her friends is Tony Robbins, not Donny Robbins. And that Chloe should be in, let me start this nightmare again. Chloe should be mentoring young women and budding up, because I tell you what, your story, Chloe, is so inspiring. There'd be so many young women that look up to you and go, yes, 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 I get it all. I am where you were. Do you know what I mean? And that'd be amazing. Is that something you've ever thought about doing?
It's something I've been thinking about in the last few weeks. I'm like, I'd love to, because a lot of friends keep coming to me now and keep asking, like, how do you do it? And I'm like, right, okay, I'm going to write down step-by-step process. I'm just giving them the truths of...
You did a post. I did a post. Social media.
Yeah.
It was cracking. I was reading it last night, Chloe. It was so good.
Shaz, I loved it. I was like, I'm going to write down what you can expect, what you're going to learn, you know, what you wish someone had told you when you first started the journey. And people were reaching out to me, people I'd known years ago, like, oh, can you help me? And I was like, oh, I don't really know how, but I can. Oh, and it was in my head, and I thought I would absolutely love to help people get to a stage where they're, you know, they're happy in themselves and they're confident with it as well. So it could well be on the agenda.
If only there was like an amazing community of sober rebels who just came together to do this sober rebellion, like nowhere else on the planet. If only there was somewhere like that where people. Could really feel like they belong. And I just, if there was something like that, I think we'd love to have you part of it, Chloe. And we'd bring you in there and we'd allow everybody to be inspired by you and all your knowledge. And I'd bring the Big D knowledge as well. And I think that's, if only there was that place, and who knows, maybe if people went to overtheinfluence.co.uk, they'd find it. Okay, I'm going to shut
there you go. There shameless. You go. Bloody shameless he is,
shameless.
Chloe. Dear God. And Susan, thank you for your question as well, Susan, which pretty much, I think Chloe's just covered that, really, talking about
thank
connecting
you.
With the sober community. This is the sober community to be connected
this
to.
Is the one.
Let me tell you.
Number one.
Thank you so much. Ben, this went off on a really weird angle. I can only apologise. Should we let Chloe go?
We've had her on for quite a while.
Oh, I've loved it.
It's gone so fast.
Gone
Chloe,
so
before
quick.
You go, mm-hmm. before you go, and I don't think that Ben and Freddie are aware of this, because we have a few girly chats, don't we? Mm-hmm. We have a few exchanges on the old socials, because I am very young and down with the kids. So you're like Bezzy mates with Tony Robbins, which is great.
Oh, I know where you're going.
And, you know, I've trained with Aunt Middleton because
I'm
well
on. Yeah, we need to talk about this. Love him.
And he shouted at me, Chloe, and he was like, number 444.
It's my dream.
Like, Aunt, what do you need? What do you want? You can have it. This podcast could just be me and Chloe talking about this. I thought that was special. Okay, so there's Aunt Middleton. We've got Tony Robbins. Just tell us who you've trained with, Chloe, if you wouldn't mind.
The one and only David Goggins. David,
no way.
Bloody got my idol.
David,
yeah.
Bloody oh, wow. Goggins.
The best day of my life. I swear to God, it was the best day of my whole life.
Chloe, why didn't you invite me?
Oh, shut up. You know what was crazy?
Just in case someone hasn't heard of David, who David Goggins is, he's a nutter, isn't he? But do you want to explain why?
He's just a nutter. Like, he's, I recommend his like audio books. It's like a podcast interview. He's had a crazy life, but he's basically like the toughest man, fittest man in the world, isn't he? And he's the only person who's done Hell Week 3 times in the Navy. Like,
isn't his story that he didn't really do anything kind of physical, and then decided, what's the worst thing I can do? I'm going to go and
like
become a royal, a marine. And
Navy SEAL. Thing, didn't he?
Then he had 3 days to run it, prove that he could run 100. I can't remember. Something nuts,
isn't
it?
And he was so overweight, so unfit, and he did it. Did it?
Yeah,
he's
all
like
about
ultra marathons now, and
resilience and mental strength, and he's crackers. But actually, his name crops up a lot in the alcohol-free world, not for being alcohol-free, but for being just this machine when it comes to motivation. His book is called Can't Hurt Me.
Yeah.
It is. It's brilliant. It's I recommend it. And then when Chloe told me, guys, that she trained with Goggins, and I'm like, oh, man alive, you are having a laugh. Get her on. This is great. Love it.
It was odd. You know what? Because I'd done them, because of the job that I had, I never had to pay for events. It's such a perk. Just go for free. It was amazing. And I found Goggins through a client. I think it was a client and a friend told me about it. And they were like, because I love SAS Navy stuff, I'm obsessed. And they were like, do you know David Goggins? And I was like, no, I've not heard of him. So I started looking him up and I was like, oh my God, who's this guy? But he never does talks. Like, I think Nike or Adidas offered him millions for a talk and he said no. So he's like, I'm not here to be a motivational speaker. I'm just sharing my story. And I was just online one day and I saw David Goggins in Sydney and I was like, oh, this has to be fake. So I called them and they were like, no, it's real. I'd never even heard of this company. It was like an intimate, like personal development company. And I was like, And I was like, you know what? I'm going to buy it. And I'd never spent money on an event before ever. And I went for like the average ticket. I think it was like $1,500 or something. So even that for me, I was like, that was a lot of money. And then I just said, I was about to pay and I was like, oh, it's my dream to train with him. And she was like, you know, if you do the next secret class, you get to train with him. And I was like, no. I was like, oh, no, how much is it? I think it was like $3,000. And I was like, I've never spent this much money ever. But everyone was telling me, don't do it. All my friends were like, no, it won't be worth it. And I was like, I have to. I will kick myself if I go to this event and don't. And it was the best money I've ever spent. He did like a talk after and it was like, oh, he was just insane. And he came on the boat party afterwards and everyone was like talking to him and his wife.
That's
and
enough.
I was like,
enough now, Chloe. Just stop.
I'm sorry, I'm sorry.
Well, I know Sharon Hartley, the Queen of Sobriety, and I speak to her every week.
Let's bring it back.
Shaz is number one. You talk about Aunt Middleton, you know, all that, you know, the burly, bearded SAS man with his neck tattoos and his big barrel chest. Hello, I'm
what
here.
Cool.
Hello.
How's
it
going?
Is it like having Aunt Middleton? Like, you know, I could train with you any day. Thank you, Shazza, with my tough ruggedness.
With your very manliness. It's the best. What the frig was that?
That was my manly
growl. The most unmanly growl.
Well, this has been a very fun episode. Chloe, it's been lovely to meet you.
Thanks, guys. It's been lovely
Thank you so much, Chloe. I've absolutely loved it.
Thank you, guys. It's been brilliant.
We knew this would be great because all Freddie's suggestions and guests that he brings our way are just epic. Chloe, thank you so much. And we cannot wait to invite you back into the community at some point and come and chat to our members again. We'd love to see you.
Would love it. Thank you so much for having me. And well done to all of you as well.
If people want to find you, get in touch with you, can they?
Oh, God, yeah, definitely. Find me on the old Instagram if you want.
On the gram.
I'm shy saying that then.
On the gram. On the gram, right, Grandad.
On the gram. And what's your at handle?
Oh, God. What is it? I think it's... I don't even know. I think it's just my name. So, Chloe.Frierson, I think.
Yes, it is.
I think there's a dot.
There is.
Yeah, if anyone wants to connect, you can connect with me on there. Just be lots of pictures and sunrises and a few memes here and there. So
a few pictures of Goggins.
A few pictures of Goggins. I'm going to do one, Shaz, for you. I'm going to share it again. He is Big D.
Discover more shows on the Sound Rebel Network.
Like Men Lose Weight.
This is Men Lose Weight, a podcast about four blokes who partied hard through their 20s together and now they think, maybe we should try and lose a bit of weight in their 30s together.
Be honest now, lads. Have you ever been in the middle of a personal trainer session and feigned an injury?
Guys, so I moved from Birmingham to Nottingham 2 years ago, right? Turns out I've been paying for a gym for 2 years that I live over 100 miles away from.
I guarantee at one point or another, he said, nothing tastes as good as skinny feels.
He obviously didn't try that pizza. Did you try that pizza that came out this year? The one good thing about 2020 where it's like KFC and pizza combined.
I have lost £3 this week.
Just so you know the numbers, I've also lost £3 this week. Whoa! I'm down to 17 stone 4.
I have also lost £3 this week.
What? You are joking me.
I am £1 down this week.
All good, mate.
We've all lost, progress. which is definitely better than last week, boys. Well done.
A lot better than last week.
£10 in a week, boys.
What? That's like a bait. That's more than my baby weighed when he was born. So we've lost that collectively in a week. So, I mean, if you want to look at that, that's pretty decent, isn't it?
Men Lose Weight from Sound Rebel. Listen now on your chosen podcast app.